You should have a one source sheet, one side. One source sheet, one side. If you don't have it, raise your hand. Okay. I'm a tad nervous doing this, but I think it's the right thing to do. Having spent a lot of time with you, Baruch Hashem, and I consider myself very blessed that I've been able to, but I've been able to spend a lot of time with you with guest speakers the last couple weeks, and all of Rosh Hashanah, and even this week already, or the end of last week. And all of us, and certainly myself, have to work and work and work on tshuva. And some of us are feeling a little bit nervous, butterflies, anxious, whatever the word is, pre-Yom Kippur. I feel like it's important to talk about something else tonight. And I wanted to talk about Sukkos. And I think we need to shift gears. Shift gears. I am not chalila minimizing chalila tshuva, yom hadin, itzumo shel yom, tshuvat kapara, tshuvat tara. I'm not minimizing that at all. Avodat yom ha-kippurim and asara harugim malchut and chalila. But Sukkos is 5 days after Yom Kippur. And there's so much to talk about. And so if I could ask, and we're still going to hear, I'm sure, other topics and you're learning. But I'd like to ask you just to shift gears and think about Sukkot. And I want to share an idea with you about Sukkot. Okay? Are we okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. The Torah in Parshat Emor tells us about the mitzvah of Sukkot. Basukkot teshvu shivat yamim. We have an obligation to sit in the sukkah. Why? Because of what the Torah tells us right here. Parshat Emor. Lema'an, the Torah tells us, lema'an yedu dorotechem. Ki vasuko toshavti et b'nei Yisrael behotzi'i otam me'eretz Mitzrayim. We have an obligation, ani Hashem lokechem. We have an obligation to sit in the sukkah because, in order, leman yedu dorotechem, I want everyone to know that I, says Hashem, ki basukot hoshavti, I caused B'nai Yisrael to sit in Sukkot when they left Mitzrayim. There is a very well-known Gemara in Masechet Sukkah. It's a little bit of a question as to who said which opinion. For the sake of this shir, we're going to pick the one that's a little bit more commonly understood. Even though if you look up the Gemara inside, you'll see that it's not sure who says what, but we're going to pick the more common one. Here we go. Tanya, we learned in a Braita Yafet. Ki basukot hoshavti b'nei Yisrael. First opinion, ananei kavod hayu divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Akiva omer sukot mamash asu lahem. Machloket Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, you're going to sit in a sukkah. Some of you may sleep in a sukkah. I have the zechut. It's a pleasure. I sleep outside in the sukkah with my family. I love it. It's a great chag. It's a spiritual chag. It's a family chag. In Mitzvah Hashem, you'll be with your families here in Israel. In Mitzvah Hashem, in the near future, in Sukkot. And I'm supposed to be, while I'm eating, while I'm sleeping, while I'm learning Torah, schmoozing with my friends, playing with my kids, I should do it all in the sukkah. I treat my sukkah like my house, right? And I do it all Leman yedu dorotechem ki basuko toshavti b'nei Israel. So, when I'm eating, when I'm drinking, when I'm sleeping, when I'm whatevering, I have to remember that God did something for me. What is that something? Machloket. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Eliezer says, ananei hakavod. And that is a chag that I can relate to. It's a chag that I remember that God took me out of Mitzrayim. I believe it. I know it to be true. And He surrounded me and my family and my shevet and my whole nation with ananei hakavod, miraculous. Only our imaginations can help us understand. Psukim tell us, Gemaras tell us. I didn't have to change my clothes. I didn't have to change my shoes. I didn't have to walk up a hill or down a Valley. Mitzvah Hashem by all of us on our next tiyul. I didn't get blisters. I said I didn't have to change my clothes. My clothes didn't wear. Enemies! We were a really ripe target. This rich country, powerful, came out of Mitzrayim, takes all the gold from the Egyptians. We never fought a day in our life. Don't have a gun, don't have a missile, don't have an iron dome. So of course we're going to be attacked. And Anani HaKavod say, no thank you. Arrows, forget about it. Cold, forget about it. Desert gets very cold. The desert gets very cold. Heat, forget about it. Sunscreen, not needed. And this is, and I could end the shiur right now. Rabbi Eliezer, and we should, and we must remember Rabbi Eliezer's Sukkot. Important. Hashem does miracles for me. What's more difficult, however, is Rabbi Akiva's holiday. Leman yedu dorotechem ki basukot toshavti et b'nei Yisrael means Sukkot mamash. He puts me in a hut. Maybe he put me in a prefab. Maybe he had the schach, the rollout schach now. What are those called? The bamboo things. Nobody got... That's a holiday. I left Mitzrayim. Where do you think I'm going to sleep? Sleep in the desert? My kids? My pregnant wife? My newborn baby are going to sleep outdoors? Of course they're not. You gave me a sukkah. Thank you, Hashem. But that's a chag? 7 days, 7 nights, kiddush, hamotzi, drinking, playing, eating, sleeping, because I slept in this pretty makeshift tent. So much so that if it's permanent, I'm not yotze. We're talking about the schach though. Some of you know about real permanent walls, but the idea is the schach, is the sukkah. Temporary, if it's too strong, if it's too permanent, I'm not even yotze. So I slept in a flimsy sukkah. And that's my chag. So we're going to spend the next couple of minutes discussing what I think is a way to understand Sukkot and the chag of Sukkot according to Rabbi Akiva. Now, before I get to what I want to share, the Aruch HaShulchan, Rabbi Chiel Michel Epstein, he died a little more than 100 years ago, beginning of the 20th century. Rabbi Chiel Michel Epstein, the Aruch HaShulchan, it's the second source on your page, says the following. He has an answer, V'ha'inyan kein hu. D'mipnei zeh nitzavinu la'asot sukkot. Dugmat hasukot sheasu lahem bamidbar. Why do I have a mitzvah to build a sukkah similar to the plain old natural sukkot that Hashem, the huts that Hashem made? Kedei sheit galeh v'it parseim mitoch mitzvat hasukah godel ma'alatan shel Yisrael bamidbar shehayu holchin im koved ha'anashim v'hanashim v'ataf ribe revavot b'makom asher ein bateva ha'adam lihiyot bo. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, this is a chag to remember the greatness of Bnei Yisrael. You went Lechtech acharai bamidbar be'eretz lo zeru'ah. Hashem takes us, and if I skip down to the third last line of the Aruch HaShulchan v'nimtza, de'ikar mitzvah zu hu zichron hamasa hagadol shebamidbar. Shelovad shelo haya mekom zera. Od afilu batim kvu'im lo haya lahem. Ela sukot bi'alma. It's a zikaron of the great journey. It's a zikaron of the great dedication. And while we're not celebrating the Anani HaKavod of Rebbe Eliezer, we're celebrating that God did take care of us in a place that was so desolate there weren't even houses. You had to build these flimsy sukkahs. That's the Aruch HaShulchan, and it's very special. I'd like, if it's okay, to go maybe a little different or maybe a little bit in a different direction. I'd like to go in a little bit of a different direction. And I'd like to, in order to do that, ask a couple more questions. So question number one is, what kind of Chag does Rabbi Akiva want me to celebrate? We're going to think about it a little differently than we did until now. Question two. The Torah actually gives agricultural reasons for Chag HaSukkot. I have the next couple of sources, Mishpatim and Emor. V'chag ha-katsir bikurei ma'asecha asher tizra basadeh, you have to keep, but also chag ha-asif b'tzeit ha-shana b'ospechat ma'asecha min ha-sadeh, or in Vayikra and Parshat Emor, it's called chag ha-asif. It comes at the end of the harvest season, at the end of the season, b'tzeit ha-shana, or in Emor, ach b'chamisha asar yom l'chodesh ha-shvi'i Nisan. I'm sorry, it needs Tishrei. Be'ospechem et tfuat ha'aretz tochogu et Chag Hashem. So Chag HaSukkot is really not only lema'an yedu dorotechem ki basukot oshavdei b'nei Yisrael, but there's an agricultural link. And I want to know if those are connected. Sukkot, lema'an yedu dorotechem, according to Rabbi Akiva, Sukkot mamash, and Chag HaAsif. Harvesting. Sukkot is the harvest season. That's question number two. Question number one is, why are we celebrating Sukkot Mamash? Sukkot Mamash. And question two is there a connection between the agricultural side of Sukkot and the historical, we'll say, side of Sukkot? Question number three. You know, you sense that Sukkot seems to belong to two different cycles. One cycle is the Shalosh Regalim. It is one of the Shalosh Regalim. All the halachot of the Shalosh Regalim, I have a mitzvah li'aliyah regel, a mitzvah Hashem, this year we'll be zochet to take a short walk of aliyah regel, just like this year on Pesach, God willing, and just like this year on Shavuot. It's one of the three regalim. Kiddush, Kiddush Hayom, and the way I'm Mekadesh the Yom, Sukkot is almost identical to Pesach and Shavuos. You look at a machzer at Yom Chag, you fill in the blank. Hazeh Zman blank. It's the same Kiddush. So we see it's part of Shalosh Regalim. We have Zecher Litziat Mitzrayim over and over and over again in Pesach, over and over again in Shavuos. We also have it on Sukkot. However, Sukkot also is connected and part of a Yamim Noraim cycle, isn't there? First of all, we already mentioned the halacha. We mentioned it on Rosh Hashanah. Until when am I allowed to say Tashlich? Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, the last day of Sukkot. What tefillah do we say every single day of Sukkot? Hoshana lemancha. Hoshana? What are you talking about, Hoshana? Where's Hoshana here? There's no, I mean, I don't say Hoshana on Pesach. Why do I say Hoshana? I don't say Hoshana on Pesach. When do we stop saying the David Hashem? Why don't we do it after? Why don't we stop after Yom Kippur? After Sukkot. We have Sukkot seems to be have this dual identity. It's a little bit, or it's Shalosh Regalim, but it's also Yamin Noraim. Question number four is something that you may not remember, but it's very important. And that is the Haftorah for Shabbat Chol HaMoed is about Gog Umagog. Gog Umagog. Milchemet Gog Umagog. Milchemet Gog Umagog, this huge cataclysmic, end-of-days, eschatological fight that will bring in Mashiach. On Sukkot? Why on Sukkot? Why on Sukkot? So we have these four questions that I'd like to address as quickly as I can. Question number one, we said, is why? How can we explain Sukkot according to Rabbi Akiva, who says Sukkot Mamish? We have question number two. What is the significance of the fact that Sukkot has an agricultural link and not just historical. Question number three, what is the significance of the fact that the holiday of Sukkot has this Yamim Noraim feel to it? What Megillah do we read on Sukkot? Kohelet. Of all the Megillot, the undertones, maybe I'll say overtones, of introspection, making sense of your life, figuring out where I'm supposed to be and what I'm supposed to do on Sukkot? Why on Sukkot? And question number four is Milchemet Gog U'Magog. Why would Milchemet Gog U'Magog be read on Sukkot on Chol HaMoed Sukkot? With me? Okay, I'd like to share an answer. B'siyata d'shmaya, it's not really my own idea though. It's based on Rav Hirsch and the Rashbam and the Ramban, and I shared this idea with Rabbi Liebtag, Rabbi Liebtag shares this idea also. I mean, also standing on his shoulders. So I want to share with you the following idea, and I think that it places much of Sukkot in a very different light than we're used to. It actually, I think, will help us understand the Arba Minim also. But I didn't even get to that. It's important, number one, to keep in mind that Yitziat Mitzrayim was not the be-all and end-all. Yitziat Mitzrayim is not the end of Jewish history. Yitziat Mitzrayim was the beginning of Jewish history. It was really part of a process. First of all, we had Yitziat Mitzrayim, which was supposed to lead directly to Kabbalat HaTorah. We're not just a people, but we also are a people. We became a people with a job. The job, we had directions, and that's called the Torah. The Torah was our instruction manual. Step three, we were supposed to immediately after that enter into Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael was the place. Eretz Yisrael was the place where I was supposed to be able to fulfill that mission to the best of my ability as a person and also as a nation. And that would eventually lead to Acharit HaYamim. That would eventually lead to Yemot HaMashiach. True? True. So now, the holiday of Pesach, therefore, doesn't only celebrate Yitziat Mitzrayim, but Pesach is really basic training. It's basic training to become true Ovdei Hashem with the Torah in Mitzrayim. That's very special. And throughout my journey in the desert, I was surrounded by miracles. I was surrounded by miracles that helped me appreciate God, believe in Him, recognize that He exists. I'm not going to say this now, but I am going to say this in the future. Emir Tzabli Neder and Emir Tzashem. We were supposed to be weaned off of those miracles, which might explain why Moshe Rabbeinu was not allowed to enter Eretz Yisrael. Because once he hit the rock, he showed Bnei Yisrael that he was the desert leader. He wasn't the Israel leader. I, says Hashem, have to wean you off of miracles. Because miracles are a desert experience. The real way that you are supposed to serve God is by being in the desert, as by being in Eretz Yisrael, and living what the world calls a natural existence. You got to plow your own fields now. You got to buy your own shoes now. And you've got to make your own shoes now. You've got to fix your own shoes now. And you've got to fight your own wars now. You've got to train your own soldiers now. You have to fit them and feed them. And you've got to run an economy. You have to have a police force. You have to have a judicial system. That is not lower than the desert, ladies. That is higher. That is a higher existence than in the desert. The desert is nice. But it's time to be weaned off that desert into Israel. And so we will find, again and again, varying degrees of weaning off. Raise your hand if you have a driver's license. Oh, very nice. How old were... Do you have a driver's license? How old were you when you got a driver's license? 17. That's the London rule. Okay, 17. Why doesn't London let you drive when you're 11 or 6? And don't say the wrong side of the road, because that's how they grow up. Why don't they let you drive when you're 6? Because you're not ready to drive when you're 6. Oh, so you're a baby? You're in diapers? No. In some ways, you're a big girl when you're a 6-year-old. You pour your own cereal. You pour your own milk. You drive your own car. No, you don't drive your own car. When you're 17 in London, you'll drive your own car. So you see that in our lives. You see it in our history. Go back and look through. I'll give you homework. Look through Chamisha Chumshei Torah. Well, not really. Look through the last 4 Sfarim of Chumash. And there is this constant balancing between God wanting to lead B'nai Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael and to live a natural life. I think I said this once before, but I'll say it one more time. My cousin had a child who was married this summer. He's my age, and we're very close, Baruch Hashem. And I said to him, you know, oh my gosh, marrying off a child, it's really, you know, hard probably. And he said, it's very hard. It's beautiful, 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 beautiful. He said, but it's very hard. He said, the only thing, it's a beautiful, it gets me choked up. The only thing that is worse than a child leaving home is a child not leaving home. I said that to you, I think, your first day here. It's hard, but it's better than the alternative. So Hashem, in quotes, says, get out of the house. Get out of the nest. And B'nai Yisrael sometimes says, I'm not ready. Just like you. You say that also, and that's fine. I'm not ready yet. So here you are in Israel, and you're a little bit away from home. You're not in high school anymore, but you're not financially independent yet. You're not ready to get married yet. You're not ready to have a full-time job yet, but you're not in sixth grade anymore. You understand? And that is the lahavdil what B'nai Yisrael went through in the Midbar. And so really what Eretz Yisrael is supposed to do in our history is to represent this new and higher level. If you look at the Ramban and Parshat Bo, he says this, it's Rav Hirsch says this, it's not me talking, I'm just channeling other people, lahavdil, I don't really mean that. And that's what this history is. I understand you need miracles in the desert, but sometimes you need to learn how not to be. Says Rabbi Akiva, Sukkot, Leman Yedu Dorotechem Kiba Sukkot or Shapi Bnei Israel, Bohot Siyota Meretz Mitzrayim, is the celebration of the newer journey. It's a celebration and it's a commemoration of the newer relationship. I've got a new relationship with you, God. How long did it take the events of Pesach to occur? It's a hard question to answer. How long did it take to leave Mitzrayim? Minute and a half. Half a minute. 5 seconds. I'm in Egypt. I'm not in Egypt. I'm in Egypt. I'm not in Egypt. How long? And that's good. And that's nice. And that's a miracle. How long did it take to celebrate Sukkot? Or how long did it take for the events of Sukkot to happen? How long? 40 years. That's real life. I want you to take your life, and I want you to remember that it's God. It's not just me having a job. It's me having a job and knowing God gave me that job. It's not just me having an army. It's me having an army and knowing God gave me that army. It's not just having a parnasa, chag ha'asif, not just gathering in my crops. It's gathering in my crops and knowing that it was God who gathered those crops in for me. So sure there's a connection. That's absolutely the case. What better time of year than the Yamim Narayim to remind ourselves? You guys sang this so far on Rosh Hashanah twice, and you'll sing it on Yom Kippur again. You'll say it again. Right before we say Amelech HaKadosh, we say Uvechein Tein Pachdecha. Look at your machzorim. Part heavily of Shmona Esrei, Ma'ariv, Shacharit, Musaf, Mincha, of every Yamim Narayim davening, you look them up, Uvachein Tein Pachtacha, Elokeinu Elokei Avotein, everyone is God. Spread yourself out to the whole world. I can't wait till every single person in the world, V'yeda kol yitzur ki ata yitzarto. That's Yamim Narayim. But that's also Sukkos. It's not good enough for you to be a little 600,000 person clan in the desert. I'm going to go to Israel, and I want you to be a Mamlechet Kohanim v'goy kadosh. You're going to have an economy. But it's going to come from God. You're going to have an army. It's going to come from God. You're going to have a judicial system. But remember, it comes from God. Everything comes from God. Nothing is not. And I want you to go out of your house, and I want you to remember that your safety comes from God. Your food comes from God. Your drinks come from God. Your playing with your children comes from God. It's normal. It's natural. It's real life. It's 40 years in the desert. Realizing that I am connected to God. Last point, says Rav Hirsch. Ladies, if you came only for this, could die. And it's not mine, it's Rav Hirsch. What was our fourth question? Why do we read Gog Magog on Sukkot? Says Rav Hirsch. You know what the final war is going to be? It's going to be between Bnei Yisrael and Gog Magog. There are going to be two forces in the world. There's going to be the Jews. The Jews who believe that everything comes from God. I say it on Rosh Hashanah, I say it in Yom Kippur, I say it every single day. I sleep in my sukkah and I remember that. And my economy comes from God. My business comes from God. My shalom bayit comes from God. My shoes come from God. I have it. I don't feel that way when I'm sitting in Anei HaKavod. And you know who the other side is going to be? Gog Magog. Says Rav Hirsch, what does that sound like? What word, noun, does Gog come from? Agag. What's Agag? Do you have a roof in a sukkah? You don't have a roof in a sukkah. You have schach. We believe that every house, even this, is schach. How could it be schach? This is a bomb shelter. It should never be needed. You know how many tons of cement are on top of us right now? I'm safe. I am safe. Nothing can happen to me. Because I live in a house. And I have my inoculations and my immunizations and my allergies. And I'm perfectly safe. And I've got my army, so I'm safe. And I've got my job, so I'm safe. I got my parnasa, I'm safe. I got my bank account, so I'm under a roof. Says Rav Hirsch, of course you read Gog Magog on Sukkos, because it's going to be the ultimate fight between the Sukkah people and the Gog people. I believe, now it's only 7 days in the year, but I believe I live in a Sukkah for 365 days a year, even though it doesn't look like a Sukkah, but I know that God is in charge of my life. Have you ever slept in a Sukkah before? Raise your hand if you ever slept in a Sukkah. Okay, you're lucky if you have. You don't feel it so much certain times. When you lie down in a sukkah, camping is very similar. When you lie down in a tent, you lie down in a sukkah, and you're looking up at the sky. If I can't see the sky, I'm not Yotze. And I say, oh my gosh, God, I'm yours. And I do a couple things in my sukkah to make sure that we have like slugs near us and snakes. I do put salt around the perimeter of my sukkah. It's not an ayin hara or a heejee-beejee. It just slugs don't go over salt. And I'm a little paranoid about that stuff. I don't mind if I wake up with rain on my nose, but a slug on my nose, I cannot do. I can't do. I'm even thinking now. But you know what, ladies? I live in a sukkah all year round. What? Because last night I slept under a roof? God can't... God is everything. And that is what Sukkos is all about. According to Rav Akiva, what Sukkos is all about. It's a recognition that, God, I'm yours. My AP bio, 5 points AP bio, that's you, God. I mentioned that in my other class, AP bio. I didn't get 5 points, though, but in the story I did. My SAT scores, my parnasa, my shoes. It's hard, ladies, it is hard. I mentioned to you before, and I'll mention to you again, I was in the army myself. My son was in the army just now. He's a paratrooper. And he comes home, and you say, wow, why aren't we strong? Careful, 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 careful. We're strong because HaKadosh Baruch Hu enables us to be strong. We're strong because we have the ability that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves us. That's what Sukkos is all about. It's based on Rav Hirsch and the Ramban. So when we say Leman Yedid Orotechem Ki Vasukot Oshap Yibnei Yisrael Otzil Tamir Mitzvah Yishu Lekechem, we say to ourselves, God, it's not only on Sukkos. It's all year round. I am a Sukkah person. I am not a Gog. I'm not a Gog. I am a Sukkah person, and I thank you for protecting me. Please continue to do so. We should be Zocha. Have a good evening, everybody.